Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hello.
To the Triforce podcast. Good morning.
Morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. Wherever you are.
Yeah.
Sips.
Yeah.
How you doing on the island?
Man, just great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Oh.
And P-Flex, fresh out of hospital from having heart surgery. Holy shit.
How did it go, Flex? I take it you survived.
I did survive.
Good.
It was quite the experience. The last operation or procedure that I had of any note was when I had my tonsils out, and that was when I was like 13. So
right.
I went in to have a mole removed from my back. It took like 2 minutes. So other than that, I've not really had the full operating
that
theater
doesn't count,
and everything.
Yeah. You could do that with scissors, right?
Right. That's did. They just maybe bend over in the waiting room and just
in fact that's the
off.
Recommended way of doing it. I mean,
yeah. But this was a whole trial, really. I headed in at about I got there for about midday, and I got home at about 11 p.m. So it was only about 11 hours total, but it was a lot of waiting around and then about 2 hours of genuine humiliation, discomfort, and pain, and at times fear, I would say, would be how
right.
It went.
Oh, good Lord.
So to give you guys, for anyone that maybe is listening to this episode in isolation, I had, and still have, something called supraventricular tachycardia, which is when your heart races out of control, like upward of 180 BPM. So mine is 200 to 220 when I have an attack. And I had three of these that required an injection of something called adenosine that stops it. You'll have to see previous episodes to find
out. It's not like when, something happens, like the doorbell rings in the middle of the night or something and your heart's pounding. It's not
your
like
greatest
that.
Fear, no. A house no. visitor. Yeah. Oh my God, someone's coming to my house.
Yeah.
This is faster than you could conceivably ever get your heart through anything, really. Like, you know, I've done exercise, I've had sex, my heart still doesn't
you
get
have?
Up to that. I have
lucky.
At least twice,
lucky.
In fact, just to
what's
confirm
it, what's
it was
like?
Twice.
Gosh.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Nice.
But it's your heart rate, you know, this is
would
like,
you say anything's anything's better than it.
Than sex or a massive heart rate.
Than sex.
Yeah, there's loads of things that are as good and maybe even better than sex.
The older you get, I guess, definitely. Like for example, just like sitting down and reading a newspaper in silence.
And really good cup of tea. Like, honestly, having a cigar.
You're right. There are certain things like having a drink of water after you're really parched.
After a long walk on your Zimmer frame.
Yeah,
after having sex.
Yeah.
having a much needed drink of water.
I mean, I do think sex gives you a satisfaction level in your bones almost. It feels like, you know, yes, like the goal achieved. Because it's like, that's the whole purpose of us as living things, really, is to have sex. Regardless, you know, our body doesn't know that, you know, there's not going to be a baby as a result of this sex. Our body's just like, well, job done. We can now die happily, and you get a deep sense of calm and peace. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. I just feel like I've done my role as a human being.
No, it is absolutely like hacking your hormones or whatever. Like, yeah. There's this thing, isn't there, about how you get certain hormones from cuddling and certain hormones from like exercise and certain hormones.
Different hormones from nutting in someone's face. That's a whole
But it's also supposed to be the drugs thing, isn't it? Like heroin or whatever is supposed to fuck with that hormone.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, that's why people get addicted to it, because it's very much like this thing that you can't get from other sources necessarily. I think I could be talking
that
shit.
Sounds right.
Yeah, no,
but you're supposed
right to.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about how they're supposed to try and hack their hormones. Do you hear about this movement almost?
No. I don't read as widely or as deeply as you do, apparently, into the corners of the internet.
It's like, you know, there's like different things that you're supposed to do and try and, you know, like keep your body in shape in order to, I think there's this like list of like four or five hormones that you get from and different locations you can get them from, and you're supposed to try and, you know, like, this is why you should try and do a little bit of exercise every day, and also, I don't know, hold hands with a dog and just, I don't know, do stuff like that humans should do.
Man, I love holding hands with dogs. Like, that's the best.
Yeah,
they don't like it.
Like, makes you feel
my
good.
My dog doesn't like it when you hold her paw. She sort of looks at your hand holding her paw, and then she looks at you, and then she tries to pull it away. They don't like it. They really don't.
Well, you
like
have
it.
To train them. You have to train them to like it.
Okay. I will try that.
That's it's the same with humans.
You just gotta you gotta convince them that it's the play. That's the play.
Wear them down over a long period of time.
That's
break their spirit. But yeah, so anyway, so I went in and I was there for a couple of hours while they, you know, they wanted to make sure that I wasn't eating anything, basically, because the way the procedure goes, you're conscious. Like, they give you local anesthetic, and so they need to keep you awake. They need to induce an attack of SVT. So they want to sort of get your heart racing. So, because this was a procedure called an ablation, which is basically they're going to burn part of your heart.
Right.
So your heart is covered in these tiny nerve clusters and lines and cables and everything. And that's the route that the electrical signals take from the top part of your heart that spreads down in a sort of expanding pattern to make it all beat in the right sequence. And the problem with SVT is that as the electricity goes down your heart, it sort of hits a circuit breaker and comes back on itself. So part of your heart is going like crazy, which is why you start to get lightheaded and you get numbness in your sort of extremities, and your blood is not pumping properly. It's a very shallow, inefficient beat. So to fix it, they rewire your heart a little bit by burning these troublesome nerves, and hopefully that it all carries on from there. So the only way to do this is to essentially go in through the veins in your, like, left and right of your junk, basically. The big veins in your groin. Because they're nice and visible on top there. And there's nothing in the way. You can get right in there. And then those go straight up to your heart.
Right.
So what they do is they cut in a little bit and they put these massive cables up there. Like, they put them all the way up through your veins.
Right.
And then through those cables, they have very fine metal probes and things like that. And one of them, the big cable, has a little fucking burner on the end. So they make these and the doctor said to me, this should be the only bit that's uncomfortable is when I'm giving you the local anesthetic in your legs. So into my thighs, right at the top, right near my junk, they're going to put these injections. So I'm wheeled into the operating. They numb it all up. You can't feel it.
Upper leg and balls.
Because it's honestly, the holes that they make are quite big. Like, they're probably, let me think what they'd be comparable to. Jeez, I don't know. They're quite big.
I mean, like a small snake going into
like
your vein.
Yeah, so you could, like the width of a thick earthworm.
Right.
So quite
it's
girthy.
Like something out of a sci-fi horror.
Well,
isn't
you,
it?
Wait, like... you wait, because it really does get pretty horrible. So I'm wheeled in there, and they say to me,
I'm already clenching.
I know
the fact that they're messing around down there.
I know.
Is
well,
already like
you'd think
making
that was
me
the worst of
butt.
It. You'd think that them messing around down there is the worst of it. They say to me, Edward, we are now going to have to shave quite extensively, like, you know, because I'm quite a hairy dude down there. And they were like, we're going to have to shave quite extensively your chest. And,
Jesus Christ. It's a jungle down here.
Get the shears. Yeah.
Get the machete. So we need the explorer's hat.
They're shaving my chest, which I'm used to. I've had that like 3 or 4 times now. So they shave all patches of that and they're sticking all these EKG things on.
God, Jesus. It's a jungle in here.
It is literally a jungle.
I think I've found some lost treasure.
Indiana fucking Jones is going to pop up.
There's a pyramid in here with a pre-Columbus civilization.
Well, the worst part was that they cover the rest of you with a sheet, but they've got a special sheet with like a letterbox sized hole that went right over my penis and testicles. So
nice.
They are just hanging
like,
out visible.
Like a Ku Klux Klan suit.
Like that, but instead of just covering, just their eyes show, and it's just their cock and balls.
They'd like
so
that.
So they're just
right.
hanging
like
out
a,
there
like a,
in the middle
like
of the operating theatre, right?
Sex show.
It was grim. And there's like it's... 9 people in this room. And the most awkward part was, like, they keep coming over to see how I am and to help out with the procedure and everything. You know, they're all there for a reason. They're not just spectators. And every time they come over to talk to me, they'll sort of talk to me, and then they'll look at my nuts and my balls
and
my cock and everything.
And
they'll sort of look,
hanging out,
and then they'll look back at me, and then they'll carry on with their work. I'm like, you don't have to have a fucking look, you know? Imagine you're at the urinal, and, you know, you're not carefully peeking at everybody's junk. Well, it felt like they were a little bit. Obviously,
well,
what they're looking at...
I am. I like to compare. I like to see what's out there. You know, I want to make sure that nobody is.
That's good for you. You should work in a fucking operating theater.
Man, maybe I should. Like, you get to see a lot of dicks in there.
You do.
You can't
yeah.
help looking at. You really have to work hard for your eyes not to just pop down there. If there was like a completely nude woman in front of me, and I would have to work so hard to not just. I have my eyes.
Yeah, but bear in mind that...
Especially if I was a medical doctor.
They're like covered. They usually cover over everything, though.
No.
That would give you like...
No. It was just there.
You're
like
just
I
out.
Could feel the breeze, yeah. So it was right. like the reverse of clothes.
Right.
Like, honestly, in any other situation, I would have clothes on that one part. If I could choose one part of my body to have clothes on, it would be my private parts.
So, sorry, currently I feel like you are wearing a cheap Halloween ghost costume.
Yes.
With a letterbox with your cock and balls.
Yes.
And the rest of... And just your head.
Everything
your bald
else.
Fucking
and, yeah,
egg
so
at the
my
top.
Head,
and so
there's an egg.
If I were to walk into a room, a white room, all I would see would a floating egg and a cock and balls.
Yeah.
Partially shaved.
Like
yeah.
a dream.
I assume.
Covered in this... They put this sort of orange disinfectant paint on there. Slather that all over there. So they've given me this bright orange crotch. And they're... I mean, to be fair, you know, they've also then shoved cables up my groin veins.
Do you reckon the bright orange is like... works doubly as sort of... Like, you know how... Road workers have to wear the orange jackets, the fluorescent stuff.
Right.
Do you reckon like it keeps them aware of where the cock and balls are at all times?
Frankly, you couldn't
miss
them.
So there's never any chance.
There's nothing else to look at. There's nothing
rub
else
up
to look
against
at.
Them.
So the doctor's right. like, he injects the local, and at this point, I'm just thinking, well, whatever. I mean, you know, geez, I don't care if there's like 9 people staring at my junk. I just want this over with, and I think this isn't going to be too bad. And they've got an X-ray machine, which is like a robot. So no one's like manually controlling it. They'll just adjust the angle and the whole. It's like a big
is it,
arm.
Is it loose? Is it like talking to you and stuff?
No,
good
thank God.
Morning, Mr. Flags. And then it's like looking down at your balls occasionally.
It looks back at me. I see. Yeah, and it's sort of it
it's
just
like
rotates.
A jungle down there that someone sprayed with Agent Orange.
Open new file. Smallest penis on record. It was
uploading
it was,
to Twitter feed.
But it just sort of lurched up and down. It just lurches up and down. So sometimes it's coming right at my head, and other times it's going vroom, 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 like all over the place.
Right.
So I was just like, well, I'll just hold still. And there's this big widescreen TV on my left. Luckily not showing a giant close-up of my junk, but instead showing the X-ray of my heart. And they push these cables. They're about the thickness of a mouse cable. So the cable on your mouse, slightly thicker than that, is being pushed up through the veins in your groin all the way to your heart. So when they're inserting these cables, you can feel it going inside you and bumping past things. And as it's going past them, you'll feel these weird sensations. Like, imagine if you kind of needed the loo a little bit and someone pushed on your kidneys, you'd kind of feel like you needed a wee, right?
Yeah.
And if someone pushes in your stomach, you kind of feel that. So imagine this cable sort of, just bumping past. It feels like it was bumping past. It was really weird. And that and quite uncomfortable. So when it went past a part, it felt like my back hurt because it's obviously bumping against some spinal thing. And then when it went past my stomach, I felt hungry and everything. It was bizarre. And then it got up to my heart. And at that point, they fed all these cables in. And your heartbeat is normally obviously very steady. They start basically zapping it with electricity to try and make it go freaky and see which bit they zap to make it go freaky. So they want to induce an attack with electric shocks and chemicals.
Holy fuck. Jesus. It's like a rogue American cop is loose, or a normal American cop is loose in your
it's really
heart,
weird.
Just tasering everyone.
Literally.
And just
at
for
one
no
point,
reason.
They had the current slightly too high. So other bits of my torso were like freaking out and like clenching and flexing, like they were getting minor electric shocks. And I was like, oh, and the doctor said, are you all right?
Oh,
I said, well,
Christ.
The right side of my body is just like vibrating. And he's like, oh, the current's too high. Tom, can you bring the current down a little bit? And he was like, oh, yeah, sorry. So the other guy on the control desk is sort of pulling all these levers and things.
He's got like a fucking Tesla coil
right, exactly.
there. He's got like
yes,
mad science goggles on.
Lower the current,
he's got his arms held up.
Yes, master, lower the
charge
current.
The electricals.
He's alive. I was already alive. He's still alive.
So then they've got the x-ray and I can see all these cables in my heart in the x-ray.
Right.
They've got them lined up and they start and they're like, oh, there it goes. And my heart suddenly goes like 200 BPM. And then they're like, right, stop. And they stop everything. And they're like, right, let's try and do that again. Because they've got to be sure that they found the right bit. And they do it again. And they're like, right, that's the bit. And they were like, you're very lucky, Mr. Forsyth. I was like, why is that? And they were like, well, it has to be. If the easiest way to do it is if the problem is on the right side of your heart in an easy to reach place. Otherwise, they have to puncture through your heart to get to the left
Otherwise,
side.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to go to this other machine and shrink down to the size of an ant.
Exactly.
And drive this little taxi, which will also be shrunk down, and I'm going to have a cop with me. He's going to have a taser,
nice.
And he's going to have to come and taser your heart.
Give
it those bits
taser.
Are very difficult to get to.
Yeah.
I know this sounds complicated and you're on a lot of drugs right now, but don't worry. It's all perfectly normal.
It felt like that. But we didn't have to do that bit, thank God. Because that would have meant staying in overnight in a special drain because all your heart bleeds and everything like that. So thankfully that didn't happen. And then they send
drain?
Up, yeah,
a they
drain.
They put you in the sewer? What kind of hospital is this? Did you go to what kind of back alley fucking...
Hospital? I never said it was a hospital.
You just went to you just went into a back
I went
alley
to
and
ATS brake and tire master.
Oh, it's the illegal garage down the road.
Yeah, mate, we'll rewire your fucking art in no time. Right back, son. Get his cock out, John. Look at that way. Yeah,
paint it orange, John. Paint it orange. Oh yeah, look at that.
What's this for? Oh, we just think it's funny, mate. This. So then they send up the big lad, which is the ablation tube, and that sort of goes up. And then that one was really uncomfortable. And I can see the doctor like straining to like push it up there, like he's unblocking a drain, and up it goes.
So Christ, sorry. So the taser tube was a different tube to the burn
tube. The taser
tube
is how that's got sensors on and electrical thingies to make your heart go nuts. And then the ablation thing is like a tiny little burner. I don't know what it looks like. I didn't get a look at it. I didn't look down
there. I guess
it
looks like a little lighter, honestly.
Something like that, literally. And they go up there and then they start burning and then they'll make another attack happen.
I bet you it looks like the fucking cigarette lighter.
I honestly think it does. I think it looks like a miniature one of those.
Yeah, in a car. A car cigarette lighter. People will remember those
from
30 years ago.
From the 80s, yeah. So they basically burn a bit and then they start an attack again. Then they burn a bit and then they start an attack to see if they've got it. And we got very close to this one part of your heart that is like a really important cluster.
Right.
And if they burn that, then they have to put a pacemaker in. And you have a pacemaker for the rest of your life. And the doctor was like, we don't want to go down that route because you're... He said, his words, you're a young man, which was the highlight of my day yesterday, to be honest with you. He said, you're a young man. We don't want to give you a pacemaker. And I was like, oh, doctor, you flatter me. So they stopped.
Man, oh, man.
So that was that. So they stopped. But it's not 100% perfect fix, unfortunately. He was like, unfortunately, we were still able to induce an episode. And ideally, when they've done all the burning, they can't anymore. But they still were able to get it. But it wasn't a full attack. They could sort of, it was like, previously it was like starting an engine and it goes nuts. Now it's like revving an engine. So it goes like that. So my heart will accelerate up to a very fast rate, but then just stop again.
No.
So he said, when your heart heals, like when all the burning and everything is healed, the ablating, then it might be fine. You might have to be on medication like permanently, basically, to slow it. Or if I start to feel an attack, I could take beta blockers or something. I don't know, but it shouldn't be, hopefully, as bad as it was.
Right.
And it should be maybe less frequent. So I'm hopeful, but yeah, it wasn't a goal. We have to call in VAR, and we're still waiting for the result. We're not sure if it crossed the line, but it doesn't look like it did.
Right.
So unfortunately, not the best. But so now I've come home and I can't have a shower for 3 days, which isn't ideal because I've got quite a lot of blood on me, and I have two very large injuries just to the left and right of me crotch, basically where they went in. And a lot of bruising, and I feel a bit weird.
Right.
But other than that, yeah, I'm fine.
Do you feel like somebody has like invaded you?
It felt very violating at the time, yeah, because you could feel things wiggling. It was like having snakes in your stomach,
uh-huh,
like wiggling about. It was like that. But to anyone out there who needs to have an ablation, bear this in mind: the pain. I would say I've had much worse pain at the dentist. The injections, if you can handle an injection, honestly, that's the worst part of it. The rest of it just feels weird. And it's sort of like the pain of, like, imagine if you were sitting uncomfortably but weren't able to move. It's just that kind of pain, not actual sort of like, you know, sort of pain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, afterwards, once the local wore off, there's very little pain. It's a bit stiff, a bit sore. Walking is a bit trickier. You know, you got to take it easy, but it's really not that bad.
Nice.
So I would say if you are in line for an ablation, don't be worried. Obviously, for dramatic effect, I have made it sound worse. And if you have a massive hog, go for it. You know, you can basically, everybody has to stare at your massive donger. So if that's a thing you'd like, go for it.
That sounds perfect for me. I need that. We've been on lockdown for so long and stuff. Like, I just need somebody to just stare at my big Johnson. Like,
mm-hmm,
right.
I'm at that point. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm glad that you went through the experience of having a chest burster. You now know what it feels like to have a chest burster from Alien.
Well,
you know?
Again, I don't want to put anybody off the operation or procedure who might be going through it, but yeah, it's not as bad as a chest burster, I'd have to say.
Well, it didn't burst out of the chest, just slithered back out of your balls area.
A ball burster.
A ball burster. Well, I mean, the other thing, like, maybe you know a little bit like what it's like to have a baby growing inside you now.
Oh, I knew you'd think something ridiculous like
what?
That.
What? Because you feel it like pressing on all your organs and stuff. It's weird.
No.
You know?
Well, for like the split second that he had that for, as opposed to like the 9 months.
And the fact that it's a living thing that you've created and love and all that.
And and then at the end of it gets the joy of passing it through their vajazzle as well, which is
okay.
That
how about
Flax
we did this? How about like
indeed.
They had like an inflatable balloon on a worm, and they put that into your gutty works, and they like just inflated it. Over the 9 months that your wife was pregnant. So you were both pregnant and you could both experience that joy together, except yours was just,
I'll be honest with you,
a fart.
I would really hope that my wife didn't insist that I also went through the, as you put it, joy of pregnancy. Because you need somebody, you need somebody who's physically capable of bending over to pick things up and whose feet don't swell up.
No, I think you should both be like,
I think it's a terrible idea.
Two massively oversized balls wobbling around hopelessly together to share that experience. And then finally, you're lying there next to each other at the end on separate hospital
beds. You
right?
Turn to her
holding
and say,
hands.
I know what you went through now, and she'd fucking punch you in the face so
she's,
hard.
No, but you're passing some really painful gas, like you're farting out the experience, and she's laughing because it's funny, and that releases endorphins, and that helps the pain get relieved.
I hope you're never put in charge of anything close.
And then you
to
have maybe a robot baby. You get given like a robot baby.
This is a series of awful ideas.
This whole thing is like one of those things that your kids comes up with, eh? Imagine, imagine in Minecraft, you get a villager and then you put a dirt on him and then you fly in sky and like it's just going everywhere.
It's like someone recounting their dream. Yeah. Yeah, nice. That's just how I want it to be.
Well,
sorry.
But before we recorded today, Mrs. F said to me, now, don't go telling people that this is like awful and traumatic and everything, because I personally hate it when, and I see this a lot, and any ladies out there who've been pregnant might be able to back me up. When a woman is pregnant, other women who have had babies insist on telling them their horrific birth stories and how terrifying and awful it is, and like veterans who are coming back from the front, and you're one of the replacement troops heading in.
That's a big no-no. You're not meant to really do that.
You don't do that. Yeah. And I definitely see women do that, and it's awful. So I definitely did not want to tell people about some awful procedure. It really wasn't that bad. Everyone was very professional, and they were all very understanding and helpful, and it was as discomforting as it was, and as sort of, in a sense, it was a little bit humiliating and dehumanizing.
Well,
really,
I mean, that's
there.
The nature of operations, though. You do feel violated after. Because especially if you've been under anesthetic or whatever, you wake up and, you know, some like part of your leg has been shaved and there's like markings on your on you and stuff. You just feel like you've been treated like a piece of meat, you know, like, and you weren't.
Which essentially you are. You're just meat that they want to send home in similar or better condition to the way they received it. That's pretty much
it. But it's pretty incredible the day and age. That
I think they have to have this distance, though, in a sense. It's part of their training to kind of see your problems as things that need to be fixed.
But they also, I think, especially the nurses, like in a way, the doctors, especially the like in the theater, they only see you come in, they do the operation, you go. The nurses are the ones who have to deal with you being scared or anxious or being in pain. Afterwards, they've got to deal with you pressing the buzzer every few minutes and saying, I need water, you know, all this kind of crap. So they need to appear very caring. They need to be very pleasant right off the bat. And then they need to forget about you when you walk out the door, because they can't build up in their head concern for all these people coming in and everything. You know, it's very tough. But they were all incredible. They were incredible, really, all the people that were there. And you know what else surprised me? Actually, it didn't surprise me at all, but people need to think about this. When people talk about foreigners coming over here and taking their jobs, I don't want to get political. I really don't want to on this podcast, because I know people don't like it. I saw, out of probably the 30 people that I dealt with at the hospital yesterday, two people who were white and English. Everybody else was either English and not white, or had come from another country.
Wow.
And it was literally all the people in the operating theater, apart from the anesthetist, were not white. And I thought, you know, in some people's minds, all these people should be sent back where they came from. And
No.
We wouldn't
They're
have
crying
a fucking
out
health
for
service.
Professionals. Like, that's,
we wouldn't have a fucking health service.
We're not producing enough.
It's just ridiculous.
Here, they have to reach out abroad to get people who know what they're doing in.
It's market forces, right? So, for example, I know that the Philippines exports, if you like, a lot of nurses.
Three of the nurses I saw yesterday were Philippines.
Yeah, because I think they have this. It's almost like a kind of cultural thing where they have a lot of nursing schools in the Philippines.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go there and you train as a nurse and you go away as a temporary or worker to a foreign country, and you work there, and it's partly because there's not many jobs there locally, but also I think relative to income levels it pays quite well, even though I'm sure we pay the nurses not very much at all.
Right.
But it's this thing where almost the Philippines is not a country that you think of in the global stage as this large place, yet there are Filipino nurses all over the place.
Yeah.
And there's something also, it's something like, I think nail salons are the other thing that, is it Vietnamese people?
Yeah, yeah.
Like something like all of the nail salons in America, or some huge amount, like 80% of nail salons are run by Vietnamese immigrants. So it's one of these things where they have a big culture of it in Vietnam, and it's something which they've got a big community of people doing in America. So there's a lot of support for it. And it's like, oh, you know, I know someone who's opened a nail salon. We can tell you how to do it. This is exactly like the guide you need to. It's almost like opening a franchise of McDonald's, I guess, or something, you know. It's kind of this strange phenomenon, right? So I think you've got to understand that when there are people willing to come here and work for not very much, what's the incentive for us to pay them more? What's the incentive for us to train up and be paid not so much? You know, I think like that it is the market that's caused this in a sense, mm-hmm. and it's a strange phenomenon. But I don't want to criticize what we. I think that we need to pay these people properly and fairly for what they do.
Yeah.
And I sympathize with both sides. I think that teachers and nurses and these kind of jobs for a long time were, especially before the pandemic, were looked down on a little bit. Whereas in fact, I think they're some of the most important jobs in society, you know, and they are hard jobs too, right?
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, you can imagine like
it's a calling.
Teaching every day and nursing every day. God, that's like a hard job, you know, not like sitting on the fucking, like spending half an hour in the photocopier room, like smoking, like pretending that, oh, the photocopier's broken, you know, just hiding in there, you know, or browsing your phone. It's like in the toilet where where your boss is not there for the day. It's like I don't know. It's not the same, is it really?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't slack off as a nurse.
No.
Or a teacher.
Yeah,
really.
A really important
tough one.
Okay, so this week's sponsor for the Triforce podcast, it's ExpressVPN.
Wow.
That's right. You can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/triforce.
Lewis, could you perhaps put it in the form of an analogy that would make sense to me, a humble man?
Yeah, imagine you've got a sheet and it covers everything, but that sheet has a hole in it,
which
anyone can look through and see your... If you're not using a VPN, you're basically just flopping your cock and balls...
Brightly painted orange,
out of a sheet for everyone to see. You know, why not get a little patch? Sew it over there just to keep it secret and keep it safe from prying eyes.
But how is my big throbbing cock then going to burst out of the sheet if it's sewn closed, I'm wondering?
Well, you can do that if you want, but if you wanted to keep your giant...
Todger.
Pulsating member private, you could do that.
Right.
This is what happens when they let us do our own adverts.
Oh, they love it.
Oh,
so yeah, if you want to stay private online, you can visit expressvpn.com/triforce today. Yeah.
And VPN, remember, stands for visible penis? No.
No.
I like that.
Expressvpn.com/triforce. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll carry on.
Well, would you like some change of pace news? Change of pace?
What's next on the list of things you've done? Yeah, go on. Give us the next news.
Oh, no, I've done nothing. This is just something that happened. Logan Paul bought $2 million worth of Pokemon cards.
Right. Wow.
Sure he did. Yeah. Okay. Well,
That's fucking ridiculous, isn't it?
Well,
he's rich,
he's a ridiculous person. I mean, it's...
But if he wanted to, like, I just can't think of anything. Like, it's so many things... at once that I hate. It's Logan Paul, straight off the bat.
Right.
It's rich people blowing their money on stupid shit just because they can, and then, you know, also telling people that if they're poor, they need to suck it up. It's buying fucking Pokemon cards with that money, which is also ridiculous. And it's doing it purely for content. There has to be a cheaper way to create content than blowing $2 million on fucking Pokemon cards. It's all my trigger points in one news story. So,
because I heard that, I thought that must be a lot of Pokemon cards, right? But no, apparently, like, sometimes there's like one box is like $500,000.
Yeah, it's ridiculous
because it's got some really rare stuff in it. It's like fucking, I feel like when, like, 10 years ago, I should have gotten into Bitcoin and Dogecoin and fucking Pokemon cards. Mm. You know, these things, I feel like it's too late now, right? It's too late for all these things.
Late.
But
it's
that's what late. I thought 10 years ago. I thought 10 years ago, I thought, they're making documentaries about Bitcoin. It's not going to go anywhere. Like, do you know what I mean? And all these other things. And I don't know. You constantly go through life seeing things that you think, oh, if only I'd kept my... things. I was too old for Pokemon cards, right? At school when Pokemon cards came out and stuff, I was... in sixth form or whatever. So I was kind of like past it at that point. And they were never something that I was interested in. But I guess Logan Paul maybe was secretly he's a nerd or something. And now he's just so ludicrously rich, he can just do that as an investment. And they're not going to lose value, right? Pokemon cards. Pokemon's going nowhere. You know, don't see Pokemon ruining its reputation anyhow, do you? They're not adding, like, anything too weird, like a dick Pokemon or anything. You know, it's all going to stick around forever. It's not going to offend anyone. Well, maybe some of the old ones will, actually. But, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's Pokemon's going to stick around for 20 years. They're going to keep making Pokemon cards. People love card games more than ever.
You can't know that. I mean, look at Pogs.
I don't know. It feels like you can't go wrong, though.
Pogs felt like a huge thing. Who the fuck cares about Pogs anymore?
Yeah. I mean, it's you're either into it or you're not, right? Like, you can't look back and be like, oh, I wish I would have, like, gotten into that or done this or whatever. Like, it just doesn't serve you in any way, right? Like, you just have to, like, move forward.
No regrets.
Wait for the thing that you actually like to, you know, to pop off, as they say, or
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, it doesn't matter. Who cares?
Exactly.
People make it. People who have bitcoins that are worth a lot. Okay, cool. Like, if you understood it back then and you invested in it and you got into it and now you're lucky, it's paid off for you. Cool. Like, I mean, I'm not at all interested in that. I would never bother with anything like that. Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not. There's
slow
just other things I want to do, like
yeah,
play Minecraft and stuff. So,
I mean, also think about all those people who bought Star Wars toys when they first came out.
Yeah,
kept them in the boxes.
Yeah,
never touched them. They must have been adults at the time who thought, if I wait 50 years, this stuff will be worth a fortune.
Sure.
And they carefully bought and saved all that stuff, kept it in mint condition. I mean, it's sucking all the fun out of life if you treat everything that you purchase as, is this going to be an investment? Is this worth storing in a vault somewhere? Just do it with regular stuff.
I don't,
buy some wine.
I don't like. I don't like this do. Like sort of emphasis on stuff as well. Like, I try not to, like, the only thing that I have that like I would miss if I didn't have it is my computer, because I use it all
right.
the time. But I don't have anything else valuable, like, you know, that stuff. You know, I don't collect anything. I don't have, like, anything that's overly sentimental, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just go through my whole life not worrying about stuff and just concentrating, like, on, you know, maybe people or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would never just buy something with a name to, like, oh, this is going to be worth something one day. I'm going to sell this. Like, for some people, I get it. Yeah, that's fun and fair play to you, but that it's not for me. And I would never.
I agree with you, but I am slightly different in that I do hoard things that mean something to me. So I have a lot of comics and a lot of books and role-playing stuff and old games and things that remind me of being younger.
Yeah.
And I hold on to them. And I also have some fucking DVDs. Like, I don't know why I still have CDs.
Yeah,
But these CDs I had at university.
Yeah.
And there's an attachment there for me that, you know, that I hate throwing old things away. I haven't added much lately. Like, I don't buy that much in terms of comics and stuff like
sure.
that. But the stuff that I did have,
yeah.
like my old version of Car Wars and all the old Auto Dueler quarterly magazines, I still got loads of those.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't have any of this stuff. I do. Like,
right.
But like, I'm just as guilty. Like, I wouldn't say I'm a hoarder, but, like, if I get something, it just goes into a pile, like, next to my shelf or whatever. And, you know, occasionally I get angry that it's there because it's, like, in the way at certain points or whatever. And it's not stuff that I ever go back and look at again. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go back and, like, organize my DVD collection or anything like that. Like,
right.
I know I have it. I might watch it again at some point or whatever, but the likelihood is that that thing is just forgotten and is just occupying space somewhere.
Yeah.
But that space is kind of written off anyway, because I'm too lazy to do anything about
You're
it.
Right.
I wouldn't go out of my way to chuck all of this stuff out. But at the same
right.
time, if I was going to be sort of regretful of anything, I would be of the mind, like, why am I not just chucking this stuff out? Like, why am I so attached to this stuff? And why do I need it? I don't ever look at it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't ever think about it. It's just there. You know what?
So you're sort of a Marie Kondo-ish. If it doesn't bring me joy, I'm going to say thank you and get rid of it.
Yeah, but that's not, like, it's not at the forefront of my mind sort of thing. I'd say now I'm more, like, if we go to town and we're shopping or whatever, and my kids are like, can I get this? So can I get that? My mindset's different. Like, I'll be like, yeah, okay, sure. But for me, it's like, yeah, I'm going to throw that out in a week, like, when they're done with it. Like, this is going to be fun for them. they want to just like acquire this thing and that's the fun. And then they'll get home and play with it for like an hour or whatever. But next week I'm going to chuck it out.
Well, my mum's way of dealing with that for me, I remember very well, is anytime I wanted anything new, she would make me chuck something out.
Right.
So I would always be like wrestling with myself. Because I feel like as a kid, I didn't have that much stuff. In a sense, to me, it didn't feel like a lot. But to her, it sort of was a lot of mess. And so as a result, I was always wrestling with that. I guess like I'm the same. And I guess the extreme end of it is hoarding and never throwing anything away. And you see those kind of people. And you can see the rationale for that, right? Where you think, oh, well, you know, it's horrible to have that feeling that you think, oh, I really need that thing, but I threw it away. But so I'm the same. I don't tend to chuck stuff away. I tend to build up stuff and put it in boxes in case I'm going to play that board game or that thing again. And the other thing is, like, actually, it feels bad to throw these things away because you want to take them to a charity shop. You know, I've got like three full bags of stuff, like old books and
games and stuff like that. If I wasn't going to use them, I would just give them to like a charity place.
Need to take those.
Most
to
of the stuff
shop.
That I have is like old wires and stuff, like old adapters for like stuff I don't even use anymore.
You never
like
know
HDMI
when you're gonna
cables
need that, though,
and
right?
like I've got boxes God. Full of this shit.
Yeah, but it's so satisfying to think, oh shit. I've got this thing that needs to charge or whatever, and I need a cable for it. I wonder if I've got one. And you go in your fucking cable drawer and it's full of like snakes.
It
that
never
don't
feels
do anything,
good though,
but
because you always feel like you're compromised. Like, I've got the cable, but it's about 10 feet too short. But I'll make it work because I got the cable. Like, rather than just fucking throwing that out and just getting a new one that actually will, like, you know, perfectly cover you for the purpose.
Yeah. Or it's got to go through an adapter. So it's got like two cables into each other. And you're like, well, maybe this will work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a bunch of things like that. But like, I like the idea of separating yourself from like material stuff as much as you can. Obviously, it's like it's... I'm not saying like become nature boy and like go and smother yourself in dirt and have no belongings whatsoever. Like, I like to have some stuff, but I like the idea that I can be sort of divorced from stuff generally. You know what I mean? Like, that's
I think a good example of something you can buy which suddenly gives you lots of stuff is like Lego.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing where it's suddenly you've got this thing that you've spent a lot of time assembling, it feels like a pain in the ass to disassemble it.
I feel like my kids are the same
need somewhere to put
as me in some ways too, because even with Lego, I know some people will buy Lego, they'll put it together and then they'll display it somewhere or whatever. But my son's not like that with his Lego. Like the fun of Lego is building it for him. So like he'll follow the instructions, he'll build it. He'll play with it a little bit, take it apart and like remake parts of it or something or change things around or whatever. And then he's done. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he doesn't have to like set it up on a shelf when it's done and all this stuff. You know, like most of it just gets wrecked and then goes into the big bin of Lego where, you know, there's about 10 different sets worth of mixed Lego in there now.
I wonder at what age that will change over, though, and he'll become proud of his creations and not want to take them apart. Because that definitely happened to me.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll come, but maybe it won't. I was never like that. I was always very much like, I used to build Lego. I used to play this game with my friend where we would build. We had tons of Lego between us. We'd build these big elaborate bases, and then you'd have like a power generator like in the middle, and once you built your big base, you could build like little vehicles and stuff, and we'd like set them up on opposite ends of the room, like against each other. And then we'd make like a little brick that was like a ball and throw it like back and forth and try to like break each other's bases. Like you had to like hit like the
That's
power
awesome.
Generator sort of thing. It was really fun.
Did you guys ever play a game called Crossbows and Catapults?
No. I've heard of that actually.
This was in the 80s. I loved this
that
game.
That was the sort of naming convention for board games, right? That sort of, it feels like Dungeons
blah, blah,
and Dragons
and
Crossbows
blah, blah.
And Catapults. Yeah. It feels like the pre... Because if the iPhone SEO was Kingdoms of Battle and Wars...
Throne of Games. Of, Throne of Wars. Yeah. War of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's now... It was.
Yeah, now it's... It used to be blah, blah, and blah, blah. So Crossbows and Catapults, you had... It was a red versus blue, and you each had a catapult that was powered by an elastic band, and a crossbow that was also powered by an elastic band. It was generally you had to play it on a smooth floor, so either a hardwood floor or the kitchen surface or something like that, or on a very large table. And you had bricks and little ramparts and stuff, and you built your little castle and they built theirs, and you had to launch these little discs, little hard plastic discs, at each other's walls with the objective of knocking their wall down. And I think there was a goal, like a particular standard or something that you had to knock over to win. It was a fucking banger of a game. I loved it.
Nice.
I loved it.
See, these I've looked at a picture of it. The walls are made of basically fake Lego bricks.
Yes.
And so, I mean, you as a kid, I'm sure, Sips, you probably saw adverts for this fucking game on TV or somewhere.
Maybe. We just did it ourselves. Like, it was just a fun game that we used to play it all the time. Like if we were just at somebody's house, like, and we, like, into our teens as well, sometimes we'd just, like, be at somebody's house or whatever, and we just bust out Lego and just play that game. Like, it was always, like, the sort of staple thing that we did.
I can imagine it getting quite sort of deeply strategic, like, the meta.
Well, no, but
it,
the whole, like, know, Lego talk thing came from that, because I remember so many times we'd all be just like hanging around building Lego, not really concentrating on what we were saying to each other, or like singing dumb songs and not, you know, like you have those moments where you're like, you know, changing the lyrics to a song while you're building Lego, because but you're not paying attention, and then suddenly you're like, what did he just fucking say? And then you're just like all laughing, but you're like deliriously tired from like building Lego or whatever. It was just lots of that. Like, it was good times, but sort of just like reinforcing the point that like I never built anything in Lego for it to, you know, last and be displayed or whatever. It was very much like you built something and then
no,
wrecked
you played
it
like
apart.
A sort of amongst your friends in sort of a little gaming.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Ben's story about how he and his friend used to learned how to play Go and played that with each other over the course of like a year and became kind of, both of them became what they thought was really, really good. And so then one day they went online and they were like, together we're going to go and play online and see if we can, you know, because together we'd be unbeatable, right? Because we've played this game for ages. And they made like two moves in a Go game against this online opponent. And he just said, have you ever played the game before? You knew. They played so weirdly and like badly.
Well, yeah,
actually,
but I mean,
and they didn't even know like basic
stuff.
Yeah,
no, but when you play a game in isolation like that, there's like your meta between you and your friends is so different, isn't it? To like what the, like a larger, you know, sampling of people are playing, right? So like I can see,
but also
how it can
it's more of a globally like chess, I guess. You have to, in order to be good, you have to understand what strategies have come before. You can't just look at a chess
board.
A brand new chess player needs to study a century of chess as opposed
it would be like if you're starting items in Dota. I mean, we actually, like, I do the in-houses on a Tuesday where we get new players in and they play for our amusement, and in the last few weeks we've had brand new players in, like brand new. Like there was a guy who had never played a game before and he bought two magic ones. two magic sticks. So that's not a thing. Like the moment you see that in Dota, you're like, okay, this person has no idea what they're doing. Very simple. One very simple thing and you would automatically know.
Yeah.
Or just like what the items they build are and what regen they bought and everything and how they level their hero. It's the same deal. Like there's just a way to play certain games that is... It's not even min-maxing. It's just like, it would be like if your second move in chess was to move your king forward. It's like, what? Like, what are you doing?
Exactly. I would imagine that like Ben and his friend had some real insights into the game, you know, that they'd learned, but it was kind of trumped by the fact that, you know, essentially that someone who just picked up one Go book and read it for 10 minutes probably knew basic opening that they didn't know, right? Imagine like if you were a footballer, I'm sure as a footballer there's loads of stuff to read, right? And you have to study, right? But it feels like you could become a footballer and just learn the game, figure it out, get good at the physical aspects of it and never have to pick up a book or go through a series of lessons.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure the modern game does require that and probably would benefit from it, but it certainly feels different to how, you know, there's like a raw talent there, right? Whereas I think that these games where you have full information, like chess, are It's something you just have to put such an incredible amount of work into. It's because I was talking to various people about chess this week, and people are so interested in chess. You know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago as well, and I've been playing a couple of games, and every time I'm like, oh, I'm so fucking hopeless at this because I just don't see really obvious stuff that is like, I don't even see one move ahead almost. Like I can't, I try and look at it and it's like, I think of myself like Beth Harmon or whatever from the Netflix show, and I'm like, I need some kind of drugs to just help me like pass what I'm looking at, this complexity. Yeah. It's just too much.
I mean, you need to put a lot of work into chess. Like, it's like anything.
Sense as like playing StarCraft is frustrating because I feel like there's too much, right? I feel like at StarCraft, I'm constantly feeling like I'm not doing enough. And when I'm playing chess, I'm constantly feeling like I'm not smart enough. I'm not considering everything that I want to try and consider.
Right.
Even like to a satisfactory level, it's like I'm not able to really get my head around anything.
There is a fundamental difference, obviously, between chess and StarCraft. In one of them, if you start off playing chess games with a long amount of time to get the hang of it, it would be like you give yourself time to think, and you just play enough games and you start to see the same kinds of patterns and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm a good chess player. I am not a good chess player. But I play pretty much every day against a computer, and I'm playing against the 1,200 opponent, and I beat her maybe one time in three. Just playing against these computer opponents gives you some practice, whereas in StarCraft, I'm never going to be good at it because, like you said, I don't have that level of micro and macro.
Yeah.
I can't click that quickly. Like, it would be like trying to learn chess by playing just 3-minute blitz chess, and just like, it would be insane. So you can just step back and play a much slower game, and that helps. Try that.
Yeah.
Because it is a really good game.
Also, there's no books. You can't buy a book on
chess
and sit down and read StarCraft.
Oh, StarCraft.
Oh, StarCraft. No, yeah. Yeah, you can just learn openings and counters and stuff if you really want. Sorry for being a little low-key today. I was quite heavily sedated.
No, you're not at all. No, it's fine. It's nice to just sort of have a nice chat. I'm like also a bit low-key today. I'm just like...
It's just one of those days.
Tired, you know?
It's empathy, Sips. It's empathy.
Yeah.
If something happens to one corner of the Triforce, the other corners also feel...
I'm like a chameleon. Like, I'm sort of...
Oh.
I'm reading the room. I can detect some low-keyness, so I am low-keying myself.
Having corners. I don't think triangle has corners. I think it has like apexes or vertexes. No. Or
vertices.
Something like that. I don't think it has... I wouldn't say like a 60-degree angle is a corner.
I don't think he was aiming for like for technically being correct. I think he was just...
You've just actually'd me about a throwaway comment, but let's figure it out.
I think it is a corner.
Let's talk about the corners. 25 wikis open, PFLAX.
I just wouldn't have used that to... I just don't think of the Triforce as having corners.
Right.
Well, I think of you being a pillar.
I'm thinking if you look at a triangle, three triangles can fit into the angles. Like, where each of those angles has a triangle in it. Like, if you look at the Triforce, you wouldn't say that, for instance, if you drew a triangle now and fit three smaller triangles inside it, there'd be a hole in the middle. That's the power of friendship in the middle there. And then you've got, I believe, Lewis is the top triangle, Sips is the bottom left triangle, and I'm the bottom right triangle, right?
Right.
So we are tucked into the corners of the inner triangle, the larger Triforce triangle. We are the three corners, so... What I mean, because you and Sips and me and you and me and Sips all share a side, but we don't all share a corner. Each corner is
unique. No, you are absolutely right.
But you're going to tell me why I'm wrong.
No, you're not. You're not wrong. But in my head, for some reason, I only like a corner if it's like like a 90-degree. I like putting
angle.
A square sofa in a corner or whatever, or a square table in up
so
against the corner.
So you're like thinking more of furniture arrangement rather than...
I don't know. Okay. Maybe.
Well, let us know in the comments what you think. Not that I give a shit. Had to respond to some bullshit already. People listing... After last week, I said that the British film industry... I said, give me examples of films made in the last 5 years with British money that were basically made for British audience.
Right.
People were listing me films made... One guy listed Trainspotting. It was made in the fucking 90s. In the 90s!
Yeah, it's hard to find more recent examples. Like, for me... particularly, I just don't watch a lot of film anymore. I tend more to watch TV series and stuff like that, of which there's plenty of examples of good British stuff. But actual films like that get released into theater and stuff like that, I'm just not into them much anymore. I don't really sit down and watch full movies anymore. Like I'm good for like an hour.
I watch a movie like every day, I'd say. Yeah. I love it.
No, I mean, I could probably watch the equivalent of a movie every day in terms of like, you know, following TV shows or whatever, but I just, I don't know what's coming out. I don't know what's come out. I've missed a whole bunch of stuff. I feel like being somebody who's not really into it, I feel like there's so many superhero movies coming out that I'm just not interested in. I'm not into them at all.
Yeah, I think they peaked when Endgame.
Yeah, it feels like every movie that comes out is some Marvel, you know, wank fest, and I get that people like it, and I'm happy that they do, but I just don't, and it just like. I'm not saying that's the sole reason I've been put off movies, but that just seems to be what's big right now, you know, like,
yeah,
that's what's coming out. And I'm too stupid, I guess, to like find other stuff that's coming out or just not interested enough. So I just watch TV instead.
I mean, if you look at the Marvel stuff, I think you had all these great, I personally really loved the MCU build up from like, you know, when you had like the new Iron Man movie came out, and that seemed to change their approach. Mm. And I think Iron Man was such a great character, and Robert Downey Jr. was so good. And then you had like the Captain America movies. Captain America, they'll be boring, but they were really good. And then the Avengers movies were really good, and the Thor movies really good. And I thought, wow, this is really something. And then they kept adding stuff like, you know, new movies like the Guardians of the Galaxy and everything as a collection of movies. Honestly, I can't think of a string of blockbusters with a single theme and coherent characters like that.
No.
That was as good or successful or rewatchable. Like, it was incredible. But all those actors then got sick of playing those characters and wanted to go do new things, mm-hmm. which is understandable. And then the supporting cast who replaced them, essentially, they didn't want to do a reboot. They didn't want to say, right, we're going to start again from scratch with all new characters, because it's like, you can't do that. It's taken 15 years or 20 years or whatever to build up this catalog of films.
Yeah, yeah.
So they took some of those supporting actors or characters who perhaps weren't that interesting or that important and made them the start of new sort of series. And I'm just like, no, I don't. I'm out. Like, I'm tapped out. I've done it. Like, you've already done what I thought was like a really good... I mean, these were blockbuster movies. You can't analyze them as art house flicks. These were huge, big budget movies with big name actors and stars and everything. And the fact that they had this plot that ran over all these movies and wrapped up nicely, I was astounded. I thought it was a really, really impressive achievement for Hollywood.
Yeah, no, I think...
But now I'm done. I am finished. I am done. No more superheroes, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I get it. Like, again, and I understand why people like it so much and follow and stuff, but it's just...
I think you can get bored of a genre. I don't hate superheroes.
I've watched, you know, like Daredevil I enjoyed that on Netflix. And
I think there is a little bit of burnout with all of that stuff. I think I went through a phase of watching trying to watch the best movies ever, you know.
Yeah.
And if you watch these highly rated movies, they tend to be like, they get pretty heavy pretty quick, and it's like, you know, this movie's about AIDS, this movie's about autism, this movie's about a teenager with cancer, this movie's about a dad whose child's being abducted, this movie's about pedophiles, this movie's about, I don't know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and
suddenly
yeah.
it's like you're in this like pretty there's not that many kind of comedy movies that aren't just zany and hangover and wacky kind of throwaway garbage. I don't know, like most movies are to take themselves a bit more seriously, and I don't know, sometimes I don't want that, and sometimes also it's a little bit the same with a book. Like, you read a bad book and it puts you off doing it for a while, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you have to kind of overcome that, but actually there are some really amazing movies out there coming out all the time.
Oh, yeah. And I know, like independent film and stuff. Like, I'm sure there's tons, but I feel like you just sort of have to be into it, which I'm not really.
It is also more of an effort to actually sit down and try and watch a movie, you know, because you tend to have to pay attention.
Yeah.
And as a result, like, you can't just have it on in the background while you do something else.
I mean, I've been watching like The Expanse recently, which I've enjoyed. Actually,
it's fantastic.
Really enjoyed.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
But I, again, with my, like, pacing it the way that I do, I don't even watch like a full episode. I watch like half an episode, and then the next day I'll watch the other half, and then sometimes bleed into a new episode or whatever. Like, but it's just the way that I have time to do it,
like,
and the way
that
I consume
TV is
stuff,
like,
you know,
like now though. But I mean, TV is more, it used to be episodic but for reasons, you know, broadcast, but now it's, people just consume it like you do, Sips. I think that's a very, and they design that in mind. The episode kind of breaks are more just for, you know,
like I just timed with real stuff, you know, like I just watch stuff when I have a chance to, you know, like if I'm just, you know, putting the kids to bed or whatever, and that's fine.
I think it makes sense for everyone to break it into chapters in the same way that a book's broken into chapters, and in the same way that they've always made it in episodes, and different writers can write them and different directors can direct them, and as a result you end up with this, you know, large production, which is a lot bigger group of people working on it rather than a singular 2-hour vision, you know, is kind of more of a movie, certainly. Like, but I'm constantly being recommended TV shows that I'd never fucking heard of. Like this week, they were talking about Mythic Quest, which is
never heard of that.
The Robert McElery, the guy from Always Sunny, did like a TV show with Ubisoft.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
About a game dev company, and apparently it's pretty crap. But one of the episodes is really, really good in the middle somewhere, which was written by, you know, someone. Cause they're all written by different people, and you know, it's all, that's how it works. So some of them are probably better than others, but yeah, apparently like that's something which I'm gonna watch because it's certainly interesting to me, but I didn't even know that it existed until this week. And I guess like there must be so much stuff out there that we probably would like, but we don't hear.
Yeah, you just need to be recommended or look, like, I mean, like again, like I would never have watched, I love Dark and I would never have watched it had I not been recommended it, you know, like I'd browsed past it numerous times, like looking through Netflix, and it just didn't appeal.
They try and get you by changing the thumbnail
all the time. So
oh really?
Yeah, they change them constantly to make it look like it's a different show or there's a new season or something. Like,
it's called A/B testing.
Okay, do you remember when The Boys came out, and for ages Amazon had ads running on Twitch that said The Boys new episodes available now. For like a year after the first season had come out and had run its course, they ran the same ads. Made me go back and check multiple times that there were new episodes of The Boys, and there were not.
Right.
There were not.
Right.
So I think they need to be more careful with their advertising.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe they're not reading your data as much as they should, because quite honestly, like, I constantly get recommended adverts for shows on Amazon Prime that I've already watched on Amazon Prime. It's like I've finished all the episodes and it's like, new series of The Expanse. And I'm like, I know, I've seen this.
Right.
You don't have to show me an ad for it again, fuck's sake. So read my SEO better, internet.
Yeah.
Get my watch history on board. Don't show
Are we asking for them to take more of our data?
Is that what's happening? I think
you should be watching me closer.
Still my data better, you chumps. Jeez.
I've painted my cock and balls orange. I've taken a picture of myself with a white sheet. Now make sure you scan that and understand, post it on the internet, send it to your girlfriend.
Send some dick and titty
and do
pics.
It well.
Tit pics.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're still with us, PFlex. I hope you get to have a shower in a few days.
Yeah,
fuck,
yeah.
That's weird, isn't
get
it?
Get some of that blood off of you.
It's grim.
Yeah.
Can you have a sponge bath like around?
Well, the problem is the area that needs the most washing is the area that I can't wash.
You got to have one of those like really deep, hot Red Dead baths, you know, like they're just like absolutely steaming. Like
that's what I'm going to go
just
for
like a
with
full
the with
dunk.
The hand job.
Yeah, with the hand job as well. Nice.
That's what I'm going to go for after. So on, I guess probably Sunday evening or Monday morning, I'll do that. But yeah, for the time being, I just got to let everything heal, and I can already see the bruising forming. So I'm just going to chill.
Yeah, just have a good old
for the weekend.
Have you seen this this new game that's out called Valheim? Have you seen this?
I did. It actually looked quite interesting because I thought
like
that would be
Rust
bants.
Thing.
You know, play that with the lads would be kind of bants, but. I'm so deep into Tarkov. I'm halfway to my goal of 100 million rubles this wipe.
Wow,
so I've got like
you're at 50 million?
I'm at like 52, and once I log in and sell all the bitcoins and stuff that have been made while I was away, probably closer to 55. And
holy crap, that's crazy. I'm just constantly like hovering around 1 million. Like I just haven't been ratting. I've just been trying to like take gear out and stuff, and it is not working.
Some crazy runs. I've killed a lot of chads this wipe. A lot of chads.
What, just with like basic crap? Like
with like the PPSH, or I've sort of start. I
the
ran
papoosh.
The papoosh. I've been taking some very little, like MP7s or MP9 submachine guns in, and just trying to burst down one Chad. I've also, God, the other day I killed all the raiders, like the entire set and glue.
Oh, that's nice. That's a great.
So
feeling,
it's just a lot of money, like, and because people are like, "What are you going to do with all those guns?" I just sell them. So like,
yeah.
Every time I come back with three or four guns, I left away the other day with, I'm not kidding, 7 guns that I'd taken off. I came into this. This was. One of the things I love to do is a sort of Columbo style crime scene put together. I'm like, "All right, chief, what do we got?" Well, looks like this guy came in here and killed the raiders. And then this guy surprised him when he was looting him. And then this other guy came in and thought he was going to clean up. And that's when our shooter turned up. And that was
me. I love
me.
That. I love when you turn up to an area that you could hear the whole time being hot. And it's so corpsey. And there's just like all these scraps left over on them.
But this time there was one guy
like
left.
Like a vulture turning
up.
Yeah,
that's
it.
That's
I literally vulture it. Yeah. But this one guy was left looting. He obviously thought, oh, I got it all. And I killed him with the papoosh. And then I had everything. So I just went over all the corpses, taken all the stuff. I filled a nade box with grenades. I have 2 full money cases. I have to get a 3rd money case. It's ridiculous.
God,
I've just got so much fucking money. But it's not like I'm just going in with a hatchet. Like I just keep wearing Chad's armor back in and trying to get the stuff. But yeah, I still
you
don't have
become
any keys.
The Chad. Oh no.
No.
Oh, P-flex.
Yeah, I love Tarkov.
Oh, it is great. Yeah, I've been playing it too. I actually just sold a whole bunch of shit in my inventory while we were podcasting. It's like my weekly inventory clear out. It's
the butt clear out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Fuck's
it's
sake. Really good. All right. Well, I hope you guys are all doing all right as the lockdown continues.
Yeah, we're just out of lockdown now. We've just come out of lockdown again. Like stores and
congrats.
Stuff are open again. Yeah.
Congrats. Yeah.
Well, there's only 80 active cases here, but around Christmas time, there was over 1,000. So it's gone down like crazy.
It's like everyone. Jeez. Yes.
Well, shout out to the Isle of Man who have 0 cases.
Yeah.
So well done.
Guernsey had 0 for the longest time, and now they're having like a big outbreak. They're like 300 cases or something.
Yeah.
I love the rivalry. I love the like
between the little islands.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a local derby, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fucking Guernsey. Have you ever been to Guernsey?
Yeah, of course I have. It's like they're talking about building a tunnel from here to Guernsey.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, they want to build a tunnel.
A tunnel?
Yeah.
Okay. As opposed to a bridge.
Yeah, they got nothing better to spend all the millions that they rake
tax
in.
Tax-saving money.
Yeah, so they're just going to build a tunnel.
Genius.
Between Guernsey and Jersey. Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow.
All right,
yeah.
Let's
well,
call it
go.
A day.
Well,
yeah.
I'm going to go play some Pokemon cards.
All right, yeah,
all right
nice.
See you all next week.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Bye. Bye.